The U.S. just experienced the biggest rise in economic growth in 11 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update in Washington today. There's news this morning that the U.S. economy, as measured by gross domestic product, that is to say money changing hands, grew at a 5% annualized rate summer into fall. On Tuesdays, we called Julie Neiman, the analyst at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis, to help us with the data. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, David.
5% annualized. That's starting to look like a recovery.
More like we're looking like China at this point. 5% is something we could kill for. Corporate profits are the biggest contributor. And even the Fed's favorite measure of inflation is showing that we're a fairly modest inflation. So my target for a mid-year bet for an interest rate hike is looking pretty probable at this point.
The growth figure today is a little strange, though. I mean, given that durable goods orders, we learned today, down in November. And then what was it yesterday? Existing home sales were way down.
That was a surprise. It gave everybody a few palpitations there. Well, the decline was expected to be about 1.1%. But if you did a little digging, the overall trend is still up this year, about 2.1%. Moving out of the market are the cash buyers. They were buying foreclosures and short sales, and there are fewer of those as well. That's a huge improvement as far as the housing inventory goes. Total inventory is still light. You know, we need to see more houses on the market, more people moving. That will come. A large part of it is tight credit standards, and that's still keeping first-time buyers away. But there's still indications that at Fannie and Freddie, you will see easing a bit in terms of first-time buyers. But when that comes, you're going to be seeing a real expansion also in new home sales. More importantly, existing home sales add nothing to GDP, so it's not going to slow the economy down a bit.
The used houses, not the same as the new houses. All right. Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company. Thank you.
You bet.
There was a milestone of sorts in the first minutes of trading today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is an average of just 30 stocks and not adjusted for inflation, yet I feel the need to mention that early today, the Dow crossed above 18,000 for the first time since the universe was created. It was up about 10.8% for the year so far. The S&P 500 was also trading at near record levels in early trading. The NASDAQ Composite wasn't. The yield on the 10-year note was up to 2.2% with all that GDP data. This year brings a roster of changes to the annual rite of college football over the coming holidays. Chief among them is the college football playoff, a new semifinal round. But a lot of the game's corporate sponsors have changed as well. Tim Fitzsimmons looks at what's behind the shuffle.
Vizio, the TV maker, is jumping from the Rose Bowl to the Fiesta Bowl. Tostitos is out. The Rose Bowl will be presented by Northwestern Mutual. Discover dropped the Orange Bowl, now that's Capital One. Matt Saylor, a sports marketing analyst with Imry, says the shift is because the cost of naming the new playoff bowls has jumped, but it's still seen as a good deal.
Those deals combine a season-long, increasingly rare opportunity for brands to reach a key demographic of affluent males watching live television.
That last word is key, live. It's hard to get people to watch standard TV commercials in the age of DVR. It was worth it to BitPay, a Bitcoin payment company, which is naming the smaller St. Petersburg Bowl in Florida.
You know, it definitely increased my advertising budget pretty substantially.
Stephanie Margot, BitPay's VP of marketing, wouldn't tell me how much it cost, but others have estimated these college bowl buys fetch as much as $30 million a pop. And this year, you'll be able to buy your hot dogs and beer with Bitcoin. I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. Now to a guy whose field of dreams is shaped not like a diamond, but instead shaped like a new electronic stock market. Brad Katsuyama is CEO of IEX, a trading platform that has yet to get approval from regulators to become a full-on stock market. It uses technology designed to mute or to cancel the advantage that ultra-high-speed traders have in the marketplace. And Mr. Katsuyama is here with more on his work in progress.
Morning.
Good morning. We'd like to check in with you from time to time on your grand project. you probably don't like the term, but what are you now, a dark pool? You're not really a stock exchange quite yet.
We are a dark pool, or what's also known as an alternative trading system. It's important to note, it's not by choice. When we started IEX, it took us 9.5 months to raise $9 million, and $9 million was not enough money to start an exchange. Thankfully, we just closed a round of funding in September of this year, and that gave us the funds necessary to file to become a national stock exchange.
Now, anytime you attack a market, the people who are already there would prefer not to see this competition. But Wall Street's an interesting place. You don't quite see the level of disruption that you've seen in other industries. But here you are with this upstart potential stock exchange. There's a lot of pushback.
People have established businesses that benefit from the inefficiencies that exist in the stock market. Of course, they're going to freak out when someone comes in to correct these inefficiencies. But if you think about it, if IEX didn't come in to correct these inefficiencies, what would happen is people exploit them to the point of scandal. And when the scandal breaks out, the regulators come in and create new rules, which then circles back to the fact that not a lot of entrepreneurs outside of Wall Street are that interested in disrupting Wall Street because of the regulation.
You know, individual investors are listening to this. People who have mutual funds are listening to this. How do you think a new stock exchange, if you get to become a fully fledged stock exchange, does that affect the actual investor at the end of the day?
It affects the investor because what we're trying to do is lead by example. When you see a flash crash, when you see things like Facebook's IPO, when these things happen, people are affected. They don't want to just hear that everything's fine. They want answers. They want to actually understand what's happened. Our goal with IEX is really to try to educate as many people as possible as to what's happening in the stock market so they can make better decisions.
Brad Katsuyama is president and CEO of IEX, a securities trading system. You also may know Mr. Katsuyama as the protagonist in Michael Lewis's book Flash Boys. Brad, thank you.
Thanks very much for having me.
And on the subject of, what should we say, officials versus disruptive technology, there's news that police in Chongqing, China, raided a training session for Uber car drivers there. Authorities are apparently cracking down on what they see as illicit taxis. The incident happened last week, but it's only now emerging in the English language media. In Washington today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.